This is Primal Potential, and I am your host, Elizabeth Benton. Primal Potential is about you. Your ability to change is not defined by yesterday and doesn't need to wait until tomorrow. Your transformation is now. Let's get started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal Potential podcast. You guys will all be happy that today is Saturday because that means that Chris is in the house.
Yes, I am. Hello, everybody. Happy Saturday.
How are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. When Chris came in, I was like, this episode is going to be a little bit different because I don't have the traditional questions for Chris to read to me. We're switching things up today, but for a very good reason, because we have some news.
We do have some news. It's some pretty exciting news.
Do you want to share what the news is?
I actually think you should share with your audience what the news is.
Oh, you know how many times I've actually said this out loud?
12.
No, like probably zero.
Okay.
Because anyway, I'm pregnant.
Oh, that's right. You make me tell everybody.
I do. Well, I passed my mom a note. I gave her a card. You told my sister and your own family. And we really haven't told many people. But yeah, it feels different or weird for me to say it. And I think a lot of that has to do with just, well, we waited a lot longer to start talking about it this time when we were pregnant with Dagny. We told people right away. Like, I wasn't even 6 weeks yet when we told people. And a lot of that had to do with the fact that I had the 5-year party for Primal Potential and I was flying out to see the Masters Club and it was going to be like a tequila themed party. And I was like, can't exactly fake that. It was my birthday. It was Primal's 5-year and we were having a tequila party. So I was like, not drinking is just going to be a wee bit obvious in that situation. So we told everybody, we waited this time. I'm actually in the second trimester already. And the reason we waited isn't because I think a lot of people wait because of fear of miscarriage and that sort of thing. And that wasn't the reason that I wanted to wait. Because honestly, like if I had or ever have a miscarriage, we would talk about it because it's a big part of mindset and lifestyle and all of those things. But I think emotionally, this pregnancy has just been tricky because of, you know, its proximity to having Dagny and losing Dagny and still very much being in that. But we are excited to tell you guys that, yeah, we are pregnant again.
Yes, we are. And I'm already starting to show.
I mean, in all honesty, and we'll talk more about this, I was pretty sure I was showing at like 6 weeks with this pregnancy. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that my uterus wasn't back to its normal size after my previous pregnancy with Dagny. But you know what I was thinking about when I was thinking about like telling people and kind of everything that's happened this year in our family. In fact, we were laying in bed last night and I was like, I know for sure this has been the hardest year of my life. And I asked you, you know, if you felt like it had been the hardest year of yours, and you definitely felt like,
yeah, I mean, if anybody that says this isn't the hardest year of their life, I want to see what that year was because, wow.
Well, not even for us, COVID. I mean, that it's Dagny, 100%.
It's that on top of everything else. I mean, yeah. it's the culmination of the year. It's not just, oh my gosh, we've lost our daughter, but our daughter and then.
Right. And having that happen during a global pandemic when we couldn't, you know.
Right.
Have normal things. But I was thinking about, I've asked you this once before and I assume you remember, but the very day that Dagny died, the doctor said to us, wait 6 months to try to have another baby. Do you remember that?
Okay. In the hallway?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember exactly. I was sitting on a stool. I think you were standing. Weird that I can see that because I usually don't have a very good memory, but some things are just burned into your head. And then you said, do you remember what you said?
I don't know that I could ever do this again.
So how do you feel now, given that we're expecting?
We did it again.
We did. But like, do you feel the way you felt that day in terms of like, no, not knowing?
I mean, time has passed and my mental state and everything is not the same as it was then. It wasn't, you know, it's no longer going through that immediate trauma. There's still trauma, but it's not right there.
Yeah. We found out 6 months to the day that Dagny was born. Like, it was literally the morning that was exactly 6 months from the day Dagny was born when we found out that I was pregnant, which is pretty crazy.
Yes.
Totally crazy. And we do know what we're having since I shared news one. Do you want to share news two?
We did. We were having a baby, and it is going to be a little boy.
That's right. We're having a boy. That's kind of wild. It is. I heard Dr. Beth Westy told me that, like, girls are the default gender. And for that reason, because of all the stress on my system, she thought for sure that I would have a girl. I thought for sure that it was a girl. But I also thought that Dagny was for sure a boy. So my track record is 0 for 2.
I can always go against what she thinks and I'll be right.
I know, which is so messed up. It's just a little discouraging. But I wanted to chat today about a lot of questions that I've gotten in the last few months, some about our experience, but also questions that I know we're going to get about this pregnancy, and just kind of let the people hear what they want to hear. And then, of course, always, guys, if you have questions about any of this, ask, and we can tackle them on an upcoming episode. And I'm sure we'll share a lot of this with you guys. As we know, one of the questions that I get, and I don't know if I get it from, like, newer people or maybe people that just haven't read the details or listened to the episode that we did after Dagny died, a lot of folks want to know if we had a miscarriage in our last pregnancy.
No.
No, we did not.
We had a full-term little girl.
Yep.
And we had her at home for 2 weeks. If that was a miscarriage, that was the strangest miscarriage ever.
No, it wasn't. No, and I understand why people ask. Yes, we had more than full term. I went past my due date and had, like, aside from I had a weird fluctuating fever thing, and that led to a C-section. Like, Dagny was healthy. We stayed in the hospital the normal amount of time for a C-section. We brought her home and really felt like everything was healthy and normal until it changed very, 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 very quickly.
Yeah. Thought it was healthy and normal until it wasn't.
Right. She died when she was 14 days old. So we did not have a miscarriage with Dagny. She was just a beautiful girl that came home with us for a very short period of time. And I know because we told people so early with Dagny, the few people that we've told have been kind of surprised that we waited so long. But I know I mentioned this, but, like, the reason was just because this feels different, and understandably so. I think number one, we are both, I think especially me, it's a lot more constant and emotional for me, very much still grieving the loss of Dagny all day, every day. And while we wanted this pregnancy and we are very, very happy and grateful and you know, give all the credit to God on this pregnancy, when you go through my pregnancy with Dagny was totally unremarkable. You know, it was healthy all the way through. Every doctor's appointment was normal. And then you experience such a tragic loss. It's hard to get in a excited headspace. So it's funny when you were like, you say it, and I hesitated because you did that when we told one of our friends the other day, and I was like, I can't say it. And I think the reason that it feels uncomfortable for me is because I'm not in a super celebratory mode. And when people are like, oh my God, congratulations, I'm so happy for you, that energy just doesn't feel comfortable for me. I think that we can be grateful for this pregnancy, but also not in that high vibe energy. And I knew that when we shared it, there would be a lot of that, like, oh my God, congratulations, blah, blah, blah. And it makes me super uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's all right, though.
Yeah. I mean, and from family and friends, like, I can say that. But I think then when you put it out into the world, into the podcast, into this, into that, like, My reservation has been like getting inundated with like, oh my God, congratulations messages constantly when like that's just not the space I'm in.
Right.
But it is what it is. One thing that I wanted to touch on, and I know that if I even throw this out there, I'm just opening it up to you with all the jokes. What did we do to get pregnant again so quickly?
I just had sex.
Stop singing.
It's Lonely Island. It's a joke from when we started dating. But no, as soon as the cycle came back, we got to work.
Well, there was a lot. I mean, welcome to the man's perspective of things. I think for me, Elizabeth,
you did all, you tracked your ovulations and you did and a lot which, of, there was math involved.
That part's super, super basic. But like what my doctors had told me was that I probably wouldn't be able to get pregnant right away because my hormones were so out of whack. For the same reason that like I haven't been able to really lose the baby weight from the last pregnancy with Dagny, primarily hormones. Cortisol being super, super high. And that was priority number one. So I made a huge commitment to acupuncture, massage, chiropractor, a ton of supplements all helped, all aimed at like helping my body's stress response kind of come off the cliff. I think there's still progress to be made there for sure, but that was really the key because if you think about your body from like a survival point of view, if your body perceives intense danger, trauma, stress, like it's not like, oh yeah, let's divert resources to grow a human. It just doesn't work that way. Same thing with like if your body senses trauma and extreme stress and emergency, it's not going to be like, yeah, sure, those fat stores in case of emergency, just let those go. No, it doesn't. It wants to hang on to those things. It wants to conserve energy. And so the real priority was lowering my stress level. I changed my routine dramatically, like not working for the first 3 hours of the day.
That includes working out.
Yeah.
In like the morning, like you'd have to push your workout to the afternoon
later in the day, like everything
which
shifted.
Is not your MO.
No, not at all. And even just like kind of vegging in the morning is not my MO at all.
No, you're usually up at, you used to be up at 4 a.m. and working.
Yeah. And I had to allow myself to get more sleep. I had to, you know, not get right into the work grind. I had to do all sorts of things. So the primary thing was reducing stress, which I think is still very important, but I have gotten more back to my kind of normal schedule with the exception of I'm sleeping more.
Yeah, you're definitely sleeping a little bit later.
But I don't do the 2 hours in the house chilling before I come out here. I kind of
you have it about 45 minutes.
Yeah,
right.
I haven't gotten back into like just slam start the day, but I give it probably an hour versus the 3 hours that I was doing it before. Yeah. Before we got pregnant. Yeah. But that was really the biggest thing from the supplementation standpoint. Adaptogens all day long, like I mean just anything, and I've done full episodes on adaptogens that you can listen to, but seed cycling, adaptogens. Chris mentioned monitoring my cycle. I did it a little bit differently than, or probably a little bit more intensely. Of course, the morning thermometer thing, but I also got a bracelet called Ava, A-V-A, that you only wear at night when you sleep. And it also tracks your temperature, your resting heart rate, things like that, because those things fluctuate a little bit when you are ovulating or before you ovulate or after you ovulate. So, I did that. I think we probably had 3 regular cycles before.
Might have been 4.
Well, I think there was a first one, which I kind of don't count.
Okay, well, then 3. And then 3.
Yeah. So that and I feel good about that given the stress and
there's also
my
that
age.
Whatever that herb was that you, it looked like a big cigarette and you lit
maca.
And you're burning it around your belly and I walked out and I'm like, what in the heck
Moxa?
Is this?
Moxa. Yeah. I got that from my chiropractor. But yeah, you can search that. But yes, it literally does. It looks like a cigarette and you.
But like a big old fat one. It's got
it
this
smells
weird,
like weed.
And it's got this weird gold tape around one end, so it's like filtered in, not and the other end. It was bizarre, but you know, it worked for Elizabeth.
That's
so.
Right. Have you noticed anything different in this pregnancy compared to the pregnancy with Dagny, in terms of like me?
You are focusing on sleeping, because I know with Dagny there was very little sleep.
Yeah, I mean, not even just at the end of the pregnancy. I feel like the whole pregnancy, right. I just didn't sleep at all, and so now I get to bed earlier, I sleep later, because the sleep is so interrupted throughout the night that, yeah, that's been huge. I have to say I feel a lot better physically. I don't have the extent of the nausea, vomiting, food aversions.
No, yeah, no, you're definitely better appetite.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like with
you were very picky with the food last time, and this time you're...
Protein and veggies with Dagny were totally like, no, yeah. I can't. Like, things that I would normally love, like, I can't. It's been a lot easier to eat, quote unquote, normally for me. Yeah. And that's been great. Emotionally, it's been a lot harder, understandably.
Right.
The emotions around Dagny, but also fear around, you know, this pregnancy. And I'm not trying to like...
Completely understandable, though.
Yeah, I'm not trying to... to change that. I expected that, you know, before I ever found out I was pregnant, I knew that future pregnancies and even having future babies at home would be dramatically more challenging, right, because of what we went through. So, but yeah, it's been heavy emotionally, for sure. One of the things that I wanted to talk about, because I know I'm going to get a lot of questions about this, and I think I want to talk about it more. I might do an entire episode on this altogether. I initially lost a little bit of baby weight, like maybe 10 or 15 pounds, just like fluid, baby, whatever.
Maybe. I wouldn't know. You never let me pick you up.
that is true. But I would say that I'm still about 40 to 45 pounds over my pre-pregnancy weight. So not only did I gain a lot of weight with Dagny, which makes sense because I was eating very differently. Like the normal things that I would eat in terms of protein and veggies would like make me sick. So for the majority of my pregnancy, my diet looked quite different. And I wasn't super active in my pregnancy with Dagny. I did some spin. I did a little bit of CrossFit, but definitely not as active. And then because of everything that we went through in losing Dagny, I think that the way my body would normally respond to like losing that baby weight just didn't happen. And then you get pregnant again. And so while I don't love at all, I frankly dislike that I am this much over my pre-pregnancy weight, I also know that right now my body's priority is growing a human, mm-hmm. and my body's priority is not losing weight. And I really want to make sure that I'm just taking excellent care of this baby. And so while from an aesthetic standpoint, from a vanity standpoint, from a clothes option standpoint, I certainly don't love being in this pregnancy already at a heavier baseline weight, I think it's a great opportunity for me to practice coming back to like what really matters. And what really matters more than ever is having a healthy family.
Right.
And that certainly matters more than people making comments about, looks like you've put on weight or whatever else. I actually haven't yet gained weight in this pregnancy, which is, you know, on the one hand, I mean, baby's growth is totally normal, so it's not like it's anything troublesome or problematic. But I do think that not having the food aversions that I had in the last pregnancy will help me...
at least maintain
your
body weight while
until a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pendulum. It's the baby's growing on one side and your body's maybe losing a little on the other, and they're just balancing each other out.
Maybe. And two, I think that there's just a lot of merit to the fact that stress wise, whether it's stress from trauma and loss or it's stress from just the emotional stress of this pregnancy, that this might not be... this is just a season of growing a healthy baby, right? This is not a season of like me being optimally the size I want to be or fitting into the jeans and this, that, and the other thing. But I do think that the upside of being heavier in this pregnancy is that I think I'm probably a little bit more diligent about what I do eat and what I don't eat Whereas if I was 45 pounds lighter right now, I might be a little bit more flexible with like, you know, whatever. It definitely helps me with that. But I think I might do an entire episode around that because there's so many layers to it. There's so many layers to like, how do you redirect those thoughts of, oh my gosh, like seriously, I'm into this pregnancy. I've still got, you know, more than 1.5 trimesters to go and I'm heavier than I want to be emotionally. How do you redirect that? Physically, what are the strategies there? Because I don't need to gain 20 pounds in this pregnancy. You know, I don't think that I'm going to gain nothing, but certainly when you go into a pregnancy heavier than what your body needs, you don't need to gain as much weight. So there's a lot to that. And I know people go through that outside of pregnancy, like right. Just generally speaking, being heavier now or struggling with weight loss for any number of reasons. So that's definitely going to be a big part of the journey. I might do an entire episode on it, but that's certainly a factor. It has moments where it frustrates me tremendously. And then there's moments where I'm really balanced about it. And just the priority is a healthy family, period, full stop. And I think in life, there are periods of push and there are periods of patience. And from a body composition standpoint, this is a period of patience. Mm-hmm. This is not a period of push. And at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is that we have a healthy, strong baby boy.
Agreed.
You know? So, you know what we didn't do at the beginning of this episode?
Talk about winners and losers and the prizes?
We
didn't
talk about what we were giving away. You know what we should give away?
No, don't say it.
No, we won't give away the apple cinnamon.
All right, a chicken.
We're not giving away a chicken.
The rooster.
We could give away a bunch of chicken eggs, but shipping would be a nightmare and probably illegal.
No, not illegal. You can ship chicken eggs.
You can.
Yes, you can. But we're not going to. I have a bunch of people lined up here that I have to give them to.
That's right. Chris has started giving them away at the gym, which people love us for, which is great. It's almost like having a boat in terms of your popularity when you have chickens. Because right. Like everybody wants your chicken eggs.
Oh, you get eggs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be the ones to get eggs. Anyway, because we can't eat them all. Like, it's impossible. We just get too many. You know what we should give away? Let's do a 4th edition identity journal.
Okay.
We have those.
We do have those.
And also the blank primal potential journal.
Ooh.
Yeah. We'll keep the apple cinnamon for us.
The blank journals are nice too.
I really like those. I've been using it every day. So that's what we'll give away.
Okay. 4th edition and a blank journal.
If you guys have any questions about this, about, you know, what supplements I took or, you know, mindset around being heavier than you would ideally like to be or anything at all, let me know. DM me on Instagram at Elizabeth Benton. Find me in the free Primal Potential Facebook group. Ask me there. But yeah, we just wanted to share that news with you. Baby boy is due in the spring. And we are just kind of being very patient with this journey. Oh, you know what I wanted to mention?
Dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to mention it? Because it'll sound nicer coming from you.
Will it?
Well, let's try.
You want me to try?
Yeah.
Okay. So with hearing good news and knowing about what's happened previously with us and Dagny, people like to reach out and tell us, whether it's friends or listeners, just people like to tell us their dreams.
Yeah.
And because they feel that it relates to
dreams
our situation
about, like, us or me.
And those are really hard to hear.
Yeah.
So stop.
No. So the backstory here is like, I've easily had, I don't know, 50 or more people reach out to say that they've had dreams about Dagny, that they've had dreams that were pregnant, that they've just anything, dreams about other babies in the days following Dagny's death, like just soup, like, please don't share your dreams. Here's my general philosophy. Ask somebody first. And if you ask me, my answer will always be no.
Right.
You know, like in general, if you have a dream about somebody, I think it's just good form, especially if they're in an emotional season. And it's not just like, oh, I had this funny dream that like you were running around in a clown suit. Like, okay, fine. You can just like whatever. Put that out there.
Elizabeth does not have those kinds of dreams. No, unless the clown has a knife and has stabbed me.
I've really, really, I've been lately having very dark dreams. But sometimes I'll just open up my DMs and somebody, and unsuspectingly, someone has just shared a dream that they had about Dagny or a dream that they had.
It's not malicious.
It's never malicious, but no.
It's one of those things, like, you might think you're helping, but you're just opening up a wound again.
Yeah. Or, like, people who said that, you know, I had a dream that you were pregnant and, you know, I had just taken a negative pregnancy test or something like that. Yeah. But, like, I have learned a lot about how to be more sensitive because of this and because of things that were said. And typically those lessons are learned when somebody says something that's just, like, really painful. And I also think part of it is, like, the number of people that message me or that listen to the podcast or whatever. And so there just tends to be, like, a volume effect there.
Right.
I think that it's just a really good idea to ask somebody before you share. And I will just let you know that my answer will always be no, please don't. I don't want to hear your dreams. You just never know what somebody's experienced on that day.
Right.
Or, like, what their emotional state is when they hear it.
Even if you think it's the nicest, most sweetest dream ever,
yeah,
it can still hit and... It's, I mean, much appreciated, but no ma.
Seriously, can we make this the end of that? I don't even want to get into the details of it, but, like,
really feel the need, email me.
No, don't. This isn't even this. Let's not make this gray. This is just black and white. Don't.
Wow.
You know?
That's.
No, seriously. Huh. Don't.
There we go. Yes. The answer from us is no.
Yeah.
Thank you, but no.
I don't know if you remember this, and I don't want to get into the details of it, but, like, the ridiculous story somebody...
The Uganda baby?
Yeah, that somebody decided...
I don't recall that one.
Somebody decided to share with us this situation or story, like, literally a day after Dagny died.
It was very, very sweet, but...
Totally not okay.
Yeah.
Like, just... No. So now we've made that really...
Thank you. But no.
We love you and appreciate you, and it's cool if you have dreams, but we just would rather not know about them. Okay.
Email me pictures of your dogs and whatever other pets you have, though.
Oh, my gosh. No. You can email Chris when you win, and let's share who won today. Today's winner, who's getting the fourth edition of the Identity Journal and the blank Primal Potential Journal, that's just, like, lined, empty pages, is at Becca Gonzalez Co.
Oh, Becca Gonzalez Co. Way to go.
And you just have to email Christopher@primalpotential.com. And no matter where in the world you live, we will ship your prizes out to you. You just have 60 days to claim them, or we use them for ourselves.
That's right. So email me, give me your mailing address and the episode number.
Yes, that's right.
And I will happily, within 60 days, as long as you do that, get your product
You'll
out to you.
You'll get the prize out with well within 60 days.
It
they
depends.
Just have 60
it
days.
It depends.
Anyway. All right. Well, we're excited to share this news with you. We just wanted to kind of give a little bit of context to kind of where we're at with it because, you know, the yippee-skippy heart emojis, whatever, like, just isn't necessarily the vibe, though we are grateful for this blessing, and we're eager for things to continue healthily.
And we're grateful to you all listening.
Yes, absolutely. All right, everybody have an amazing day. We'll chat with you soon.
Happy Saturday. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Primal Potential Podcast, where our goal is not to help you learn. Our goal is to help you change. This is a year of action. Take something you learned from this episode and put it into action in your life today. To learn more about working more closely with me and the Primal Potential team, please visit primalpotential.com/transform.